After the Great Conference of 1901, Ellen White had hoped to settle down at Elmshaven to write, and in 1902, Volume 7 of Testimonies for the Church was printed. For much of 1903, however, she was occupied with the pantheism crisis in the church. In 1904, she agreed to make an extended visit to Tacoma Park, Maryland, where the new denominational headquarters was being set up. Exhausted in mind and spirit, the 76-year-old woman dreaded the journey. But after several nights of prayer, she received rest and reassurance. Her traveling party arrived in Washington on April 27th.
Sister White, it's so good to see you again.
Hello, Brother Daniels. How nice of you to come aboard to meet us. You remember Sarah McInturfer and Maggie Hare?
Indeed, I do. Welcome, sisters.
Thank you, Brother Daniels.
Good day, Pastor Daniels.
And the man passing our belongings out the window is Clarence Chrysler, another of my secretaries.
Hello, Elder.
And Willie's outside the window. He's piling our belongings on the baggage truck.
Let's go to the Surrey, then. As soon as we get loaded, we'll head out to Tacoma Park. We've rented Carroll Manor for your party, Sister White.
Carroll Manor?
It's a three-story house with 18 rooms out in Tacoma Park. Major General Samuel Sprigg Carroll built it just before the Civil War. After the war, Grant, Sherman, and McKinley often visited there.
My, it sounds like an interesting place.
Perhaps. But it's been in need of some refurbishing. Right now, it's full of people cleaning, painting, and repairing. But don't worry. A hot dinner will be waiting for us.
Oh, that's fine. We carried plenty of food with us on the train. Fruit, nuts, boiled eggs, jelly, turnovers, and bread. But after 6 days, we're ready for a real meal.
Spot on.
Ellen was busy in Washington, inspecting the property for the new headquarters, sanitarium, and college, writing letters, and working on manuscripts. She spoke in churches, all white, all black, and racially mixed, stressing the need for unity of the believers. In May, she traveled to Michigan for the controversial 1904 session of the Lake Union Conference. Then she traveled south on the Morning Star with her sons Edson and Willie and Professors Sutherland and McGann, looking for a site for a school property. She found it near Madison, Tennessee.
But, Sister White, the land is so expensive. The Fergusons want $12,723 for their 400 acres.
True, Brother Sutherland, but it includes the standing crops, 100 acres of good bottom land, and all the stock and farm implements.
Sure, and we'd really hope for something better for less money. Isn't it so important to be close to Nashville?
Yes, Brother McGann. I have been instructed that the lands on which our school shall be established should be near enough Nashville for there to be a connection between the school and the workers in Nashville.
Well, if you're that sure, Sister White, I'm ready to go ahead. How about you, McGann?
Yes. Let's inform the real estate agents so we can get the Ferguson signatures.
There you are, sir. I hope these Yankees enjoy our farm.
Thank you, Mr. Ferguson. Now, Mrs. Ferguson, if you'll just sign...
Sell to Yankee!
Oh, dear.
Sister White, the agent has met several times with the Fergusons. Mrs. Ferguson is now willing to sell, but she's demanding an extra $1,000.
Since we've all prayed for guidance, some of us feel this is an indication that we should withdraw from the sale.
Do you think I'd let the devil best me out of a place for $1,000? Pay the extra $1,000. It's cheap enough. This is the place the Lord said you should have.
On her return to Washington in July, Ellen inspected A.S. Baird's progress on construction at the college. Where the basement of the men's dorm was completed, and excavation was in progress for the dining hall. On August 11th, 1904, she and her party boarded a train for home. She spoke in several places along the way. In Omaha, she met a layman named Jasper Wayne.
Sister White, thank you for agreeing to meet with me.
Of course, Brother Wayne. I'm told you have a plan for soliciting funds for missions.
Yes. I often travel in my business, and when I'm on the road, I distribute our literature. About 2 years ago, my order for 50 copies of a special issue of Signs of the Times was mistakenly duplicated.
100 copies? Well, were you able to distribute them all?
Yes. And I collected money for all of them by explaining that all of the money collected would go to the missions. By the time all the copies were gone, I had a good donation to make.
That's very interesting. And you think this method could work on a larger scale?
Exactly. A well-organized campaign would greatly increase the funds available for missions.
Brother Wayne, this sounds like an excellent plan. We must contact conference officials so you can explain it to them.
In 1908, Jasper Wayne's in-gathering plan was recommended to all the churches in the denomination. After this meeting, Ellen returned to Battle Creek for a time. Her party finally reached California in early October, only to find Marion Davis critically ill with tuberculosis at the St. Helena Sanitarium. Although she rallied slightly on seeing Ellen, Marion died on October 25, 1904. Ellen was generally cheerful, but she had her down days too, such as the time she received a visit from Will Sadler, former director of Kellogg's Evangelistic Medical Mission in Chicago.
Brother Sadler, how are you enjoying your medical studies in San Francisco?
Very much, Sister McInturfer. It's very different from my duties as director of Dr. Kellogg's medical mission in Chicago.
I'm sure it is.
But rewarding. I look forward to being a doctor myself so I can help people when they ask, what can I do?
Brother Sadler, what can one do for a blue day?
Excuse me for a moment. I have to get something from the other room to answer that question.
What could he be going after, Mother?
I'm sure I don't know, Sarah.
Here, sister. This is a book called Steps to Christ. I recommend this chapter, What to Do with Doubt. If I were you, I'd read this chapter.
Oh, you. Well, excuse me. I have some writing to do.
Sister White, I thank you for allowing me to participate in your home worship.
It's a pleasure to have your company, brother. Now, if you'll excuse me, I must go to my room. I retire early.
Oh, let me help you up the stairs.
Oh, no, thank you. I'm quite able to go alone. Why, I'm as spry as when I was a girl. As when I was a girl? More so. When I was a girl, I was ill and frail and in pain. But now the Lord has strengthened me all these years, and I am better, far better than when I was a girl.
Often, as Ellen moved about Elmshaven, her helpers could hear her singing The Better Land, an old Advent hymn written in 1845. On Sabbath, February 13, 1915, she was entering her study when...
And Ellen, what happened? Are you hurt?
Oh, May, I tripped.
Let me help you up. Careful now. Okay. I'll lift you into this rocking chair. Easy now. There. Oh, now hold on while I drag this chair over to your bedroom.
What do the x-rays show, Dr. Klingerman?
I'm sorry to tell you, Elder White, that your mother has an intrascapular fracture of the left femur.
Oh, a broken hip?
That's right. She'll need care. Who's with her?
Sarah McInturfer and her niece, May Walling, both trained nurses.
Ah, good. I'll also send over Mrs. Hungerford from our sanitarium nursing staff. And I'll arrange to have a hospital bed sent to Elmshaven. We'll make her as comfortable as possible.
On March 3rd, Ellen had her last vision, and Willie was called to write it down. Her burden was for the youth.
We should select for them books that will encourage them to sincerity of life and lead them to the opening of the Word.
Yes, Mother, I have that. Rest a moment if you need to.
I do not expect to live long. My work is nearly done. Tell our young people that I want my words to encourage them.
It's a lovely June day, Mother. I'm glad you're well enough to sit out here on the upstairs porch.
So am I, Sarah. I enjoy it so much.
I see some more visitors coming, so please finish your food.
Oh, I've had enough.
Oh, come, Mother. Won't you eat just a little more?
Well, Sarah, I wouldn't want to die before my time by overeating.
This isn't a good day for her, Elder White. She has more and more days when she's not aware of those in the room. She doesn't eat. She's wasting away.
I do not suffer much, thank the Lord.
Mother!
It will not be long now.
On Friday morning, July 9th, she was strong enough to talk with Sarah McInturfer and Willie White. He prayed for her.
Mother?
Yes.
We will trust all in the hands of Jesus.
I know in whom I have believed.
Those were her last words. A week later, on Thursday, July 16th, the nurses sent for Willie and May White. As her breathing slowed, friends and family members came to her room, one or two at a time. Sarah McInturfer, May Walling, and Carrie Hungerford remained at her side. Her breathing continued to slow, and at 3:40, it stopped. Funeral services were held in San Francisco, Battle Creek, and on the lawn at Elmshaven. On October 24, 1915, she was laid to rest beside her husband. Perhaps Ellen White's best memorial are her own words, often spoken as she displayed her books and papers.
Here are my writings. When I am gone, they will testify for me.